Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 210 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, how she talks to herself to self-coach throughout the day, all those challenges. This is going to be a superb podcast. I'm so excited about it. And before we begin, just know that the episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because I sit here just clicking my little nails on the desk going, okay, where's that feedback? Gotta hear from you. Love to hear from you. And thanks to all of you who keep doing that. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
Huh. So times get tough all day long. You're up, you're down, challenges slap you in the head, big surprises from left field, all kinds of stuff going on, some predictable, some not. You know the drill, right? Do you know how to self-coach yourself through this? Do you instead kind of default to little nasty boy things like, oh, I don't know, that menage a trois, you, Ben and Jerry, Netflixing it until 2 a.m, freaked out about all the challenges in life? Surely there must be a better way to go. Well, we have the expert for you. It's Dr. Beth Frates, my wonderful friend and colleague, who is assistant professor at Harvard Medical School. She's trained as a physiatrist and a health and wellness coach. Oh my goodness, she is an absolute passionate advocate about lifestyle medicine, probably a maverick long before people were even saying those two words together, lifestyle medicine. And she works to empower patients to reach their optimal level of wellness by adopting healthy habits. She works very closely as a member of the board of directors of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. And oh my gosh, her work at Harvard Medical School, her curricula that she has developed in lifestyle medicine is really laying down the blueprint and template for so many other universities that are really trying to learn to get that message out there, not just to their own academics, but also to consumers as well. So she is now the author of the new book, Lifestyle Medicine Handbook, an introduction to the power of healthy habits. Beth, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much, Pamela Peek, Dr. Peek. I adore you and admire you and have been watching your career for a long time. And to be on the show with you is a real thrill. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're just good friends. We're just getting out there. We're teaming to kind of, you know, get that message out there. So that kind of brings me to a very interesting question. You know, a number of my team members were reading, you know, your bio and back and forth. What got you onto this lifestyle medicine? Why didn't you just stick to, you know, the routine medical curricula that you and I were trained with so many years ago? When did you have the aha moment?
Yes, I had the aha moment when I was 18 years old, actually, when my father had a heart attack and stroke. At that time, he was 52, overweight,
ouch,
overworked, New York
ouch,
City businessman with, really, really poor habits, unhealthy eating habits, no exercise, hardly any sleep, not connected to his wife and family in the way he really wanted to be because he was working so hard. So his example of a heart attack, a stroke, being paralyzed on the left side, and then making a complete recovery through rehabilitation, physical therapy, occupational therapy, but more importantly, making a complete lifestyle change at that time, adopting a healthy eating pattern, including vegetables. I'd never seen green on my plate prior to 18. It was all steak and potatoes. He turned to half of his plate really being vegetables, a quarter being a whole grain, and then a quarter being a healthy protein. And he started exercising routinely, started sleeping 7 to 8 hours, started really connecting with my mom again and with me and my brother and our family, and cut down on work hours. And you know what, Pam? He lived the best years of his life, as he would say, after his heart attack and stroke. He had 27 more years, which were truly the most balanced and healthy years of his life. So that's what got me into medical school. And when I got to Stanford, where I learned medicine, I found out that there was nothing about nutrition, nothing about exercise, nothing about sleep, nothing about social connection, nothing about the things that I was passionate about. But I forged forward, and the only specialty that made sense to me was physiatry to take care of stroke patients, which is a sweet spot for me, given my family history. And then I wrote a book in 2006 about preventing stroke, and it was all about exercise, diet, stress resiliency. And it was really 2006 when people started reading my work at Harvard, and one of my friends and colleagues and attending said, you know what you're doing? You're doing lifestyle medicine. And that was really the first time I'd heard the term either. And it was back, I'd say, in 2008 when I started using this term, people started using this term, and the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, the national body, really got going. But I'll tell you something, Pam, I'm delighted to be on this podcast because it's about self-coaching. It's not just about having the knowledge, which originally I thought was the key. Knowledge is power, right? I thought, I just need to get all the knowledge and convey all the knowledge, verbally with presentations, as well as written work and the book. And then I realized, well, probably 10% of people will make a change, a sustainable change, with this type of verbal and written information, but 90% of the people are not going to make sustained change. And instead, they need coaching. They need behavior change medicine. And that's when I really started working one-on-one and in groups with patients around behavior change and started really studying it in more depth. And this, to me, is the secret sauce in medicine as well as in our own lives to continue forging a path towards optimal wellness. So I think I've silenced you and perhaps the crowd with this concept. But what I will say is, self-coaching, there's a science behind it, and I know today we really want to try to review that. In the handbook that you kindly referred to in your beautiful introduction, Lifestyle Medicine Handbook, An Introduction to the Power of Healthy Habits, there's chapters, in fact, on behavior change, and in one of them, there's what I call the five-step collaboration cycle, which we can use to coach family, friends, patients, but I like to use it to coach myself and to teach my patients how to coach themselves. So if it's all right with you, I'll go through that five-step collaboration cycle with everyone today. The first step in the cycle is actually self-compassion. It's empathy.
Beth, you know, your story about lifestyle medicine is really one of inspiration. Unfortunately, you were inspired at an early age by a very, very tough event in your life. And I'm so sorry that happened. I'm really glad to know that your father recuperated and, oh boy, kind of re-inspired himself about life and how you live. And meanwhile, there you were at medical school and no nutrition, no physical activity, and yet you really knew this had to be an integrated approach. And thus was born that concept, lifestyle medicine, when someone told that to you. And you've really gone and run with it, which is just absolutely wonderful. This is why I love talking to you, because, you know, a real maverick in the field of lifestyle medicine. So one of the things I really want to make certain we're concentrating on today in the podcast is the fact that all the people out there who are listening to us really want to understand the basic fundamentals of how they can literally talk themselves off the ledge, self-coach. And in your new book, Lifestyle Medicine Handbook, An Introduction to the Power of Healthy Habits, you've got ways to be able to do this. I think you call one of your templates a five-step collaboration cycle. Why don't you take us through that and toss out some tips, tools, and techniques that people can use for themselves to be able to get through those tough challenges every day?
Terrific. I'd love to do that. And I would love to piggyback on a really important concept you brought up when you introduced me. And you talked about negative self-talk or automatic negative thoughts, ants, as we often call them. And when we are speaking to ourselves, it's such an odd phenomenon that we often talk to ourselves in a way in which we would never speak to another individual, let alone a friend. So when we are doing this self-coaching, it's important to treat ourselves the way we would treat a good friend. I have an example where a client, a patient, taught me a wonderful lesson, and she was working with me and doing very well, sticking with healthy foods, regular exercise, and then one day, after a long day at work as an administrator, she walked into the grocery store. And there, right in front of her, Pam, as you can, all of us can imagine this, right in front of her, on sale, were half off cookies and cakes that they were trying to unload at the store. And inside her head, what she called the gremlin, started speaking these automatic negative thoughts, which said, oh, you really want to eat me, and look, I'm half price, and you can't stick with a diet for longer than 4 weeks anyway. So just come on, just buy me and we'll just be finished with this silly diet stuff, because we don't like diets, and this is the message you were meant to receive. Come into the store and have some more cookies, and you can't do it anyway. You have no self-control. You've never had self-control. You're 52 and it's never worked before. It won't work this time. And she was relaying the story to me, and I was starting to get palpitations, thinking, oh no, you can't let yourself speak to yourself like this after 4 or 5 weeks of working together. We've talked about attitude and self-talk. And suddenly she said, so you know what, Dr. Frates, you know what I did? And I'm thinking, no, but please tell me something good. So I said, no, I really don't know what you did. Please tell me. She said, right then and there, I fired the gremlin. I said, I don't want you in my head anymore, and I'm not listening to you, so go away. And instead, I hired an empowering princess of a coach who's so lovely and speaks to me with such respect and honor and really understands my strengths and works to affirm my decisions and to help me stay committed to my path forward. And I thought, isn't that fantastic? If we could all fire the gremlin.
I love that whole issue of firing and hiring. Yeah, bring it on. It also sounds incredibly empowering. It's sort of like, okay, I'm the boss here, dudes. Just, you know, listen up. I'm the one running this show. I just love that. I think that's so cool.
I knew that was going to resonate with you. I actually almost think I thought of you when that happened. It's just such a great Dr. Peak moment. Like, just fire that gremlin. Hire that precious, empowering princess who is going to bring you to your best. Okay, so that person, we all have to start together today, Dr. Peak, you and I and everyone listening, to fire the gremlin and hire, we want to call it an empowering life coach, you want to call it your special person, you want to call it your partner, whatever you want to call the person, but something that's very empowering and beautiful to you. And then that person, so that self-coaching, that in your head, the person in your head, is going to follow this five-step collaboration cycle, which involves, number one, self-compassion. So a gremlin can't do this, obviously. That's why they need to be fired and taken out of the picture. And we need this empowering life coach to take over. Because with self-compassion, we say, all right, I'm doing my best. Today may not have been a good day. I may have had a mishap. I may have had a misstep. But you know what? I can forge forward. And I did a few good things today. I drank my water like I said I would. I stopped having coffee after noon time because I know I want to get a good night's sleep. I took a walk and had a walking meeting today. So we think about all the good things that we were able to do today, and that's our compassion, our first step of self-compassion. Then what we really need to do is align motivation. We want to get to intrinsic motivation. So we want to say, why is it that I want to choose carrots and hummus for my 3 p.m. snack versus the cookies that are at work and on the desk?
No, the 300-pound muffin over at that barista, okay? The 300-pound muffin that's like 9,000 calories, and you have to have a front-end loader to get it back to your office, along with that venti, mocky, blah, blah, sugary, fatty, nasty-ass thing that's going to keep you up until 3 in the morning, and you're doing all this at 3 p.m. That's what I think. I have this great visual of this.
Oh, that is so funny. That's so perfect. And that's what happens, right? We know there's a lull at 3 p.m. Everybody knows this. It's biological. So there's a lull at 3 p.m. And instead of doing exactly what you described in such beautiful detail, instead, we are going to go outside. Right now, today, I'm in New England, and it's a rainy day. I don't care. The rain has stopped, and quite frankly, it's beautiful. It's still cloudy, but I'm going to get my galoshes on, and I'm going to get my raincoat on, and I'm going to stomp in some puddles, and at 3 p.m., I'm going to energize myself by going for a brisk walk. Then I may have some nice, cool water when I return and some carrots and hummus. Why is that the choice that I personally make? What is my motivator, my internal motivator? Well, I've shared a little bit about myself with you here on this call. And that is, I know that I have some genetics, and I know that I have a family history of heart disease, and I also know that left unchecked, my cholesterol can ride really high into the 250 range. So if I don't make these choices, if I don't make a healthy diet part of my routine and exercise part of my routine, stress reduction part of my routine, I may well follow in the footsteps of my dear old dad. So for me, the internal motivation is very clear. I want to feel good every day. I want to feel like I'm making steps to avoid the fate that my father fell into. And more importantly, when I take these walks, I feel energized. It is a reward in itself. So when we align motivation...
Well, there's actually another layer to this, Beth. And the other layer is exactly what mine is. And that is... You and I are both physicians. You and I are both leaders in our fields. And we have to walk the talk. So we have an extra layer of, you know, of responsibility here, because you have to be able to authentically say, yeah, I do exactly what I'm telling you to do. And you have to be able to draw from that passion deep inside to be able to teach other people. So you've got that extra layer here for what you and I actually do on a day-by-day basis in our own professional world. So there's your frosting on that cake.
Yeah, that's beautiful. In fact, that is really beautiful, because I might even call that frosting the flavor of authenticity. And I think that you, right? You and I love the flavor authenticity. And
walk the talk.
Right. And we really want to empower patients. And one of the best ways to do that is in fact to do it for yourself. I know you're very familiar with the literature back in 2000 when I was a resident. I surveyed the family docs and I said, do you exercise? Do you do aerobic training? Do you do strength training? Some colleagues at Spalding and I sent these surveys out, and then we analyzed them, and we found out that if physicians say that they exercise, say that they strength train, and then we look at what they counsel, we then ask them, do you counsel on strength training? Do you counsel on aerobic training? Do you counsel on exercise? We found there was a direct correlation between what they do and how they counsel. So if we're going to get physicians to counsel their patients on exercise, strength training, and aerobic training, I know you do both, and I know that those are the guidelines to do both. We need to empower the physicians themselves to walk the talk, which we do. So you're right, an internal motivator for most of us that are in the area of health and wellness, preventive medicine, medicine, lifestyle medicine, one of the motivators is to do just that, is to be authentic. Now, the next step, we started with self-compassion. We went into align motivation. Then we went into build confidence. That's what we're leaping into now. We must feel confident. This whole area of self-efficacy, this idea that I can do this. So many of us, and you know this, Pam, so many of us and so many patients say, I can't do this. I've tried to lose weight 100 times. And it hasn't worked. I've tried to quit smoking 100 times, and it hasn't worked. And so we need to actually develop this understanding that, yes, you've tried it before, and it may not have worked, but what did you learn from your attempts, your previous attempts? Where did you fall down, and what actually worked well, and how can we build on what worked well? And let's investigate other options, other techniques that might work for you. More importantly,
well, also, you're using
yours?
A different vernacular, and I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of bracing myself going, oh, please don't say the word failure. Instead, you said the word attempt, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
We attempt things in life, right? Sometimes they work,
yeah.
Sometimes they don't. Especially when it comes to women who really, I think,
yeah.
take it much more personally than men. Men are like, okay, that didn't work, whatever. You know, let's just move on.
Right.
And let's just try it again. Women are like, I'm a loser. I'm a failure.
Right.
I'll never get this right. This is all screwed up, blah, blah, blah. I can go on. You get the point. And there you have it. So what's number four of the five-step collaboration
yep.
cycle?
Yeah, and interestingly, four is critical to three, and you'll see why. Four is to set SMART goals, specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, time-sensitive. You need to set small goals. Probably with you too, Pam, I get people, they come to me and they say, I want to lose 20 pounds. I'm coming to you because I want to lose 20 pounds. Now, that's a goal. Is it a SMART goal? Is it action-oriented? No. Is it time-sensitive? No. And we need these SMART goals. We need small goals, small chunks that we can tackle to get to a larger goal so that we can build confidence, maintain confidence, and stick with our program with a high level of motivation. So many people know SMART goals for work. They use it all the time at work to hit their goals at work. But your health is also work. In fact, health is our first wealth, and we have to treat our health and our healthy habits like we would a commitment to a job. So we need to plan, and you strategize, and you strategize with specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic goals. And now you're going to say, what's the last step? What's the fifth step? Yeah. Well, this might be, and I'll ask you what you think is the most critical of the steps, but I think this one is very important, and that's accountability. So you go through this process, and you set your goal, but you don't tell anyone about it. You don't have any way to track it, and you're not accountable for it. Most things in life, if we don't set accountability, one, we'll either forget. Two, we actually won't care about it, and it's just not going to happen. So we need to set some sort of accountability. I personally like the buddy system accountability. So I would say to you, Pam, I'm going to start kickboxing. By the way, that's something I've always wanted to start, but I want to start and try kickboxing. It looks really fun. I want to add variety to my workout. So, Pam, next week I'm going to find a class and I'm going to do a trial class, and I'm going to email you on the day that I do it. Now, that's real accountability. And if you care about the relationship and you have a friend who's going to then follow up, because I said to you Wednesday, is your friend going to email you and say, hey, how did that kickboxing class go? And if so, it's more motivating so that you keep on going with your healthy lifestyle efforts. And it's a cycle, Pam, because no matter what happens with the SMART goal and the accountability, when I check back in with myself, or my friend, or my coach, or whatever it is that I'm using in this stage of my life, I am going to have compassion for myself. Let's say a week goes by and I don't hit any of my goals that I had set. Well, I'm not going to throw it all away. I'm going to look at what happened, and I'm going to figure out where the missteps were. And next time, I'm going to have a plan B in place, so that if there is a misstep, I'll be able to continue forward with a plan B. And by the way, we all know things happen. You know, my mom is sick. Sometimes I have to abandon ship on plans and go to the hospital and take care of her. That's the stage I'm in. I'm a sandwich right now. I'm in the sandwich generation. I've got the elderly mom. I've got the teenage boys. So sometimes things just don't go as planned. But I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to use self-compassion. So real, the key thing, and the thing we always come back to in the cycle, is self-compassion. So I hope that makes good sense to folks, and it's something that people can take with them, this five-step collaboration cycle.
Beth, you keep using the words, you know, self-compassion again, and I think it's incredibly important that people out there, especially women who get an F-minus in being self-compassionate, listen to what you're saying, because this is critical and key to the ability to be able to talk to yourself with support, compassion, and empathy as you try to navigate challenges throughout the day. Everyone, we've been talking to Dr. Beth Frates. She's assistant professor at Harvard Medical School, and she is the author of Lifestyle Medicine Handbook, An Introduction to the Power of Healthy Habits. And I really want you to learn more about her wonderful work. Just go to her website, wellness-synergy.com, and learn more about Dr. Frates' fabulous work. This is yet another book that she has written that's really going to touch our lives in a way that counts. Dr. Frates, thank you so much for being on the HER podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Peek. It was a real pleasure.
Awesome. And everyone out there, now, you knew this is just a fabulous episode. And how much did you learn? A lot? Yeah, we love it. So run on over right now to iTunes, rate and review the show. And I want to hear what you have to say. Your feedback is absolutely golden to me. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the HER podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the HER podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and please, please, please stay well.